You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Social Security is a key part of retirement planning for many Americans, but there are some important decisions to make before retiring. A guest shares advice and strategies to help make Social Security work for you.
First, is it just us or are junk phone calls getting kind of out of control these days? Well, it seems like a lot of the times when the phone rings, you've got a telemarketer, a scammer, maybe the dreaded Rachel from Card Services on the other end. It's enough to make people just not want to answer the phone anymore.
Wasn't supposed to be like this. Back in 2003, the U.S. government created the Do Not Call Registry, a magical database we could add our phone number to, and in theory, never be bothered again. So what happened? How are more and more of these calls getting through? And what, if anything, can we do about it?
Helene Olin joins us now. She's a columnist for Slate, where she recently wrote about the issue. She's also the co-author of The Index Card, Why Personal Finance Doesn't Have to Be Complicated. Helene, welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So first of all, are we crazy or does it really seem like there are more of these robocalls and junk calls than there used to be?
We are not crazy, and this is all but out of control. To give you some perspective on this, last year, the Federal Trade Commission received 3 million complaints about telemarketers. That's triple the number in 2009. If you think that sounds bad, try this year, where they're on track to have more than 5 million complaints by the end of the year.
So when you say complaints, what are people saying? Just that they're bothered, or are people losing real money?
Both is the answer. Some people are saying they are bothered and they want it to stop, and they're wondering why the Do Not Call list is not being enforced. And we can come back to that in a second. And others are actually losing money. I mean, I think we all know these scams are horrendous. There's everything from, you know, there's a fake Marriott International scam. It's not Marriott, by the way. I put that in my article, actually. There's an Internal Revenue scam. There's a computer virus scam. There's Rachel from Cardholder Services. But to take one example alone, the IRS scam cost consumers almost $30 million last year.
That's serious money when you take it cumulatively. So you got to wonder what's going on that it's gotten this out of control.
Right. And so I began to look at it because I have to admit I was just curious too. I wanted to know why the government had stopped enforcing the Do Not Call list. And as it turned out, that wasn't the problem at all. The government is actually still quite interested in the Do Not Call list. The issue is that the technology, the advances in phone technology have essentially rendered the Do Not Call list ineffective. So the issue is, why aren't the phone companies helping us out?
Do most people think what you thought initially, that it was the government asleep at the wheel here?
That's what it seems like. I mean, to the best of my knowledge, no one has actually gone out there and surveyed it. But I think if you would just randomly stop 20 people on the street or ask 20 of your friends what they think is going on, you will get rants about the Do Not Call list. I went into comment sections of articles about this going back years, and you would see people blaming the government over and over again for the calls that are bothering them. I quoted a few of them in my article. And it would be, people would say things like, you know, like anything about the else about the government, totally worthless. Someone else wrote back, you have that right. Another person wrote, this is yet another example of your tax dollars hard at work. Another government failure. I mean, it just went on and on and on.
So people are really ticked off at the government, but it sounds like you're saying the technology has just advanced such that the Do Not Call list isn't really working the way that it used to work. So what can the technology do now that renders it above and beyond what the Do Not Call list can do?
Right. Well, I should backtrack for one second and explain what happened, which is the Do Not Call list comes in 2003, and while it's never perfect, for several years, as we all know, it's working pretty well, roughly till about 2009, 2010, when you see the complaints start to soar again. And what essentially happened is that the same voice over internet technology, we're talking about the same technology that eliminated your long-distance phone bill that we all love so much, right? We no longer get long-distance phone bills, also permitted bad actors to set up shop outside the United States and blast us with calls using spoofing technology, disguising where the phone number was coming from. And when the government tried to crack down, as we all know, it's very hard to enforce fines and other penalties from people where you're not even sure where they are, who they are, and where they are, and if by chance you find them, they turn out to be in Russia or India or Bangladesh or Peru or fill in the blank here.
Right, so now it sounds like these bad actors, as you call them, can do a phony call from the IRS, say, but it looks like it's coming from Washington, D.C., so you might think, oh, maybe this really is the IRS.
Right, and the IRS scam was notorious for that, and the Microsoft scam, which was somebody calling about a fake computer problem, was showing the area code for Redmond, Washington, which is where Microsoft is headquartered. And there's really not a lot the government can do about this. They have fined organizations up one side and down the other, and they've collected less than 10%. So the issue is the phone companies. And it turns out there's actually a lot they can do, but they're not doing.
We're talking about the problem of soaring rates of robocalls and junk calls with Helene Olin right now. She's a columnist for Slate, where she wrote about the problem. And Helene, I guess the question is, does the technology exist to stop it now?
Yes, it depends, and it's different technology depending on, you know, what kind of line you're on. But for instance, if you are on a voice over internet line, which is, say, a Fios Verizon line, like I am on right now, you could simply put something called No More Robo on your phone, which is a technology invented, or created, I should say, by someone who was responding to a contest sponsored by the federal government back in 2013. And essentially, it figures out which numbers are commonly spoofed and then blocks them. Your phone might ring once. This sounds wonderful, right? So what's the problem? Well, if you're a customer of Time Warner, you're really lucky. They have a one-step sign-up process for this now. They offer it up for free. If you're a customer of, say, Verizon, like me, you have to go through a multi-step process and hope it works. If you're a customer of AT&T, good luck to you. AT&T is claiming the federal government is not giving them the permission to stop robocalls, which, by the way, is so not true. The Federal Communications Commission last year actually explicitly gave phone companies the permission to stop robocalls because their phone companies had claimed for a long time that they couldn't do it because they could potentially block, like, say, emergency weather calls as well.
So what's up with that? Why are some of these telecom companies dragging their feet on it?
Well, part of it is it's probably cost some money, especially with landlines, where there's technology that has to be upgraded. And frankly, while we can't, like, say, prove this, AT&T, for example, is offering up a service where they will block up to 10 calls, 10 numbers for you, for the price of, I believe, it's $8.50 a month.
So is anybody in Washington looking to do anything about this to either get the telecoms a little more sanguine about their backing of this or working on anything else in this vein?
Yes, they are. Jackie Speier, who's a congresswoman from Northern California and a known longtime consumer advocate, I should say, recently introduced legislation that would demand the Phone Companies Act within 18 months of it being passed. Just this week, Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, offered a similar bill in the Senate.
And looking at that AT&T option where you can pay $8.50 and have 10 numbers blocked, is that enough? Do you have any idea, Helene, how many numbers we would need to block for this to be effective?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Do you think it would be effective?
I'm guessing no.
I think we've all gotten a lot more than 8 or 10 calls of these a month. It also doesn't help that a number of them come, you know, with some of them come with private caller. That was mine this afternoon, actually. I got a computer technology one while I was waiting for this to do this interview. It was a private caller.
Is there anything that consumers can do proactively on their end to either do a roundabout on the telecoms or anything else that might help?
Well, if your company allows you to upload a program like No More Robo, and there's a couple of others like it as well, I would certainly advise it. But again, that really depends on your company. Truthfully, I think the most effective thing would be to lobby Washington to get these bills passed so that the government, so that the phone companies are actually forced to act. I tend to think relying on several hundred million people to upgrade their own phone lines that they might or might not actually be able to do is not exactly the most effective way to go.
Now, is this a problem across the board? It seems like this is an issue that affects landlines more than it affects cells.
Well, it's illegal to call a cell, but it's becoming an increasing problem for cell phones, too. And, again, you're falling into the same trap. It depends on who the carrier is, who the phone, what kind of phone it is. There's more apps on Android to block these things than on Apple for some reason. And it is becoming an increasing problem for cells as well.
You talk a little bit in your piece about the cost of letting the government kind of take the fall for the blame on this one. Do you think, what is the cost?
I think, though, this is where I really started the article, was I think the cost is people get very cynical about the government and what it can and can't do. And in this case, what seems to be going on is people are actually blaming the government for ignoring their woes, not realizing that the problem is emanating not from the government, which is actually frantically trying to do something about this, but the private telecom companies who are not and are not particularly acting accountable to their customers.
So we're back to your point here. Lobby your phone company.
Lobby your phone company. Lobby your senator or congressman. If you can, and this is a real issue for you, consider switching. If enough people switched their lines to somebody who was offering more help, it might actually cause some movement.
And in this case, you said that was Time Warner.
Time Warner is probably one of the best ones. There's others, too, but that's the one I believe most consumer advocates say is doing quite a bit at this point.
Helene, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
That was Slate columnist Helene Olin, and she joined us to talk about why junk calls and robocalls are out of control and what we might be able to do about it.
Coming up after the news, our guest shares advice on making the most of your Social Security benefits. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.